This is podtech.net. I'm Michael Johnson. We're here at the Bandwidth Conference here in San Francisco talking about music and technology and the way that those two things fit together. I'm here with Ben Fong Torres, who is a long-known San Francisco radio host and writer, author of books, columnist in Rolling Stone, radio columnist here locally in San Francisco. Now, tell me, you just got off a panel called Tuning Fork, and you were talking with various people that are involved in terrestrial radio as well as internet radio
That's correct.
So you can tell me a little bit about what took place on the panel and what sort of things that were covered.
Right. You have to work out the rights, because that is the backbone of the content that you're going to be providing on any platform, whether it's terrestrial radio or an internet radio station you build yourself or a site that proposes to stream music to you. In any case, it is what is required for you to have the content, the musical content. And then, of course, it is also the greatest challenge for especially newer companies. For radio broadcasters, that's no big deal. That's always been part of their budget. But for a startup, it is a big mountain to climb, depending on the kind of licensing you need. And so they have to take care of all of that business before they can even launch. So I'm sure it has put some businesses out of business, and others, of course, have managed to survive, like Alive365.com and Mr. Lamb, Mark Lamb, who is their CEO, and apparently main funding genius over the years. They're very lucky to have a guy like him, because he's been able to keep that ship upright through some very terrible times, or more challenging times from the industry against the digital music sites that we have so far. So he is a survivor. But it's not an easy course.
Now, one of the things that you were mentioning in there is that you yourself subscribe to both of the major satellite radios, XM and Sirius, right now.
Yes.
And, you know, they're both struggling to sort of stay afloat. It's things are kind of changing for each of them. Do you see them merging or something else happening between the two companies eventually?
I don't really know. You know, they talked about merging from the get-go, because it was so costly, and they were sounding so similar in their services, and they were competing for so many of the same kinds of artists and features, content from established networks and other providers. And so that seemed to make sense early on, but I think they've each gone their own way so solidly and specifically that it's unlikely now that they would merge. It's sort of like merging football leagues, you know. These people who establish their own leagues, they really don't want to play with the competitors. And so they're pretty stubborn, especially with a guy like Mel Karmazin now at the head of Sirius. And he is claiming that they will go into the black by the end of this year. But as one of our panelists said, that's been claimed before, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be happening anytime soon. And yet, you know, Mel Karmazin is not exactly a chimp. He knew what he was getting into when he took on Sirius, and he knew what he was getting into when he gave Howard Stern that humongous contract. And so there are some brains behind those operations, and I have a feeling that they're going to survive somehow, not easily and not as quick, and they won't turn around as quickly as they seem to project themselves doing. But you do have 11 million people paying $13 a month. That is a lot of money. Not as much as they spent, but it still is substantial, and it's only growing.
Given that, say, in a market like San Francisco, I think there was a figure quoted in there, it's only a 3 or 4% share of San Francisco, the listening audience for satellite radio?
That might be the case. But if they have a 3 or 4% share, that's still more than about 15 of the top 25 stations are getting on their own. And so you can look at it two different ways. It is a small share still, but it is growing, and these are shares of people who are paying $13 a month to listen. It's not free radio. So it's a different playing field that they're talking about. When you're talking about people who subscribe, whether it's to cable television or to radio or to an internet service, like 365.com, they charge you to broadcast your own radio station, you're talking about a much more committed listener as opposed to the casual radio fan who flips from one position on a dial to the other and lands on three or four different stations over a given day or a week. And so they're measured that way. This is a whole different measurement.
Now, what about social media? Like, say, you know, obviously we're on a podcast right now. Where does that fit into this? And do you see that as a growing market, given that there's some, you know, Microsoft is clearly throwing a lot of money behind that, mobile telephone streaming. You think that's going to take have radio, a big hit on radio?
I think it's a growing market, but probably limited, in much the same way that blogging is ultimately limited. I don't know that people really are going to commit a lot of their time, their leisure time or their work time, to reading what essentially are letters to the editor. These are people posting whatever the hell they want to say for all to see. How much of that is really well written? How much of it is compelling and interesting enough that people keep going back to it or even going to the form? Unless there are some big names and established writers, the same thing with audio and video. People are just... Yeah, you know, it's always interesting to go to YouTube.com and see a wacky video, but really the quality and the continuity, all of that, I don't think is enough for people to make YouTube must-see computer watching. So I don't think there's a real strong business model for that. But community is always strong, whether it's on eBay or AOL or any of these radio sites that are out there, Microsoft and MTV with Urge. The interactivity is what the common bonds that music lovers and radio lovers find with each other is attractive and keeps people coming back. And that's why radio... commercial radio has to stress and execute on localness, community, interactivity, listening to the listeners, and constantly being out in the street, finding out what people want to hear and want to have on their radio, whether it's just more music or more news or more community events or more stuff online, more contests, whatever the listeners want. You'd better give it to them because they do have so many other places to go far beyond a competing radio station.
Ben Fong-Torres is the author of Becoming Almost Famous. You've got an upcoming book about the Doors coming out.
Yep.
Still writing for Rolling Stone?
On occasion, but the Chronicle radio column
in the Chronicle
is every
radio
couple
column?
Of weeks in the pink section.
In the pink section of the Chronicle,
that's
and also
right.
found at sfgate.com. Thanks for being with us on the podcast.
Thank you. Pleasure.
This is Michael Johnson at Bandwidth Conference in San Francisco, and this is podtech.net.